Well, good morning once again. My name is Ray Franco. I'm the student pastor here at Washington, and Pastor Stan asked me to get to share at Upward Sunday, so I'm super thankful and blessed for being allowed to speak with you all. And for those that most of you guys know, but we just moved here and took this position right after Christmas break, so I don't know if anyone's moved. You're good? All right. Yeah. I don't know if anyone's moved over Christmas break, but it kind of feels like that. It's a little transition. It's a lot going on. So coming here, new place. And for me, we have five kids. So two of my boys were in the Upward program. And for us, it was just such a blessing to have this start right when we moved here, because it gave them some friendships. It put them around a good, godly environment. So again, I'm so thankful for Sam and his team for having this season and being a part. I got to coach, being a coach, and just learning. For us, Upward was a whole new experience. So just learning, wait, we have six periods here? Like, you know, trying to understand, you know, like, get the rebounds. Like, oh, they got it. You got to go back, you know. So just, but in doing so, you kind of understand why they put those things in and really helping the kids developing, not just in their skills, but also going through the lessons. We've been through the story of Joshua, and so thankful, and we'll dive into that in just a second here. But I wanted to share a little story about Upward. Has anyone ever had a bad day? Right? Amen. Yeah, have a bad day. And, you know, and sometimes you know when you wake up, it's just, you just know. And then there's other times you didn't know you're having a bad day yet. It was just getting there, you know. And so it was the first, second, or third week of the season. So we did Tuesday nights, and then we also had games on Saturday for my other son. And so, you know, wake up, 10 o'clock game, feeling good, got them all dressed and fed, which is a miracle in itself. Like, God is with us. This is good. You know, and so we live just across the street, so like 30 yards from this gym. And so it's not too hard. If I'm late, it's like, I shouldn't be late to things, right? And so it's good. It's 9:50. We're walking over. We're going to warm up, watching the last part of the first game. And I walk in. I'm like, good morning. You're high-fiving people. And, you know, I just, sometimes have you ever walked in the room and you can kind of instantly feel something's different? And you're like, wait, everything's just not clicking. Everyone's like, hey, Ray, kind of like, hey. And I'm like, what is going on? And I see one of my players running down the court. And that's not uncommon, because sometimes we need to fill in. So my son played for a couple teams here and there to make sure we could have five, have a full team. But then I see one, then I see another one, then I see another one, and the light bulb happened. And I was like, oh no, my game was at 9 o'clock. Not 10 o'clock. I am very late. You know, and it's like, I look, and I, even my players on their faces, they're like, hey, coach. You know, and they're getting crushed, and they only had four, so they're like dying, and I'm just like, hey, good morning, hey. You know, and it's like, that was a bad day. That was a bad day during the season. And I know that was like, that's a lighthearted thing, but we do have these bad days, right? We have bad seasons. Sometimes it's a bad day. Sometimes it leads up to a bad week or a bad month, or some of us may, Ray, I've had a bad year, you know? And in John 10:10, I'm reminded, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And so Jesus came to give us this abundant life. And there's moments, though, it doesn't feel that abundance. It doesn't feel joyful. This is difficult. This is hard. As a pastor, you see so many different moments within the church and within the community where we can go and celebrate a newborn coming into the family. And in the next moment, we're at the hospital because someone just found out they're having cancer. You know, they have cancer, or when a loved one passes, and we walk in these different seasons of rough seas and rough moments where it's overwhelming and it's hard. And literally, the thief is trying to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. And Jesus comes to give us this abundant life. And so sometimes, though, in walking or talking to someone that trusts in Jesus, that their relationship is strong And to have this confidence, though they just got the worst news, though they're in this season where your life should be falling apart, but yet they're standing firm and their faith is not shaken. And they almost have this joy, and you're like, whoa, you're supposed to be upset. I came to talk to you, to encourage you, and you almost leave encouraged yourself because of their faith, because of their relationship. And you're like, no, Jesus did give me that abundant life, and I can stand in that confidence. And so I'm reminded of John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that pain, and though sometimes it's for this season here, but man, when we get to that eternal life, when we get to a moment that, man, I'm going to be with Jesus, that this season will come to pass and that I can be in his arms and I can be comforted and he can wipe those tears off my face because he is here to give me that life, right? To give me that freedom. And I can stand in that confidence to know that, you know what? Though everything says that you should be destroyed, that you should feel feel hurt and all this pain, you don't have to live in that right now. We can live in that abundant life. And so moving forward into upwards lessons throughout the season, we talked about Joshua. And man, I love the story of Joshua because this is all about God delivering on his promises. It's promise after promise. He's like, you know what, Joshua, this is the time. The time is now. My promises are going to be fulfilled. Excuse me. It says, God made a promise to Abraham 500 years ago before Joshua arrives on the scene. And I'm just going to read real quick the promise God made to Abraham, which later turns into Abraham. And it's in Genesis 17. And it says, now when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be a father of the multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of multitude of nations. And going down to verse 8, and it says, I will give you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So God making a promise for us is very different. As humans, it's hard for us to even comprehend sometimes what a promise means. I don't know, I see there's a lot of parents in here. Has any parent in this room ever made a promise to a kid? Right? Big or small, right? And sometimes we get in those negotiations between your kids, and you're like, look, if you just clean your room, I will give you ice cream, right? Just clean your room, I'll give you ice cream. Good thing they cleaned up their room, but it's 9 o'clock at night now. And 9 o'clock and ice cream does not mix well on a school night, right? So then what will you do? Well, hey, you know what? After school tomorrow, I'll get you the ice cream. Okay, you did it. Good job. And they're like, okay. You know, it's like, well, don't you get mad or you get in trouble now. Oh, no ice cream. You know, you get into all those different debates. Or it's a little thing or some. I remember my two older boys, they were younger at the time. They used to have this little plastic basketball hoop. It's like this, they've never changed the style. It's like the little one that can break, you dunk it, and you set it up. Anyway, it broke. I don't know how. It's usually indestructible, but it was broken. And I forget one day, they're like, Dad, will you make a hoop? And I made a hoop, and I was like, hey, look, I'll be the hoop. And they shoot the basketball, and it's fun. And we had this cool moment, you know, and 5 minutes of doing that, you're like, all right, next thing, right? let's move on. Y'all want to watch the game, or I want to move on. They're like, oh, Dad, would you be the backboard again? And you're like, yes, okay, come on, let's do it. All right, last shot, here we go. Ooh, you know, and it's like, all right, we're done. They're like, oh, Dad, could you be the backboard? I'm like, all right, we're done. You know what? I'm going to go get another one. You know, and there's moments where we make these promises, but the difference between God making a promise and us making a promise, if God said he's going to be the backboard, he's going to be the backboard, and he's going to be there forever. And, like, you're growing up, it's like, God, you don't have to be the backboard anymore. It's like, no, I promise I would. I'm going to be the backboard, right? Or if it's like, hey, you're going to get ice cream after you do it, you're going to get ice cream, any topping, any time, no matter the cost, right? And for us, God delivers on these promises. So going into this, going into Joshua, 500 years, right? Abraham is this promise that he makes. And Abraham is 99 years old with no kids. And he's going to have a child. And like and we see in the story, Abraham later, we won't dive into all of it, but there's a delay. They try to make it God's promise on their own way, ended up having a kid that wasn't the promise, but eventually they get to Isaac, right? Isaac, you know, and it goes on and on. And so fast forward 500 years, now you have this 2.5 million people. It's the nation of Israel, right? And this is God's promise that he made to Abraham. And I think about different promises, and even in my life. When I was born, my parents said, Ray, we prayed for your wife every single day from the time you were born. And man, that promise came. My wife, Heather, I think she's serving today, but man, if you know my wife, it's a blessing. It has a promise. There's no way I could have earned that. It was just God gave a promise to my parents, and they fulfilled it. And you see that. And so there's moments and promises that we that the Lord will give us, big or small, that he is going to fulfill. And so Abraham, moving forward, it's 2.5 million people now. But there's a second part of this promise. Yes, multitude of nations, multitudes of people, descendants, but they're missing the land. And this is where Joshua comes in. And so now Joshua is the leader. He's 80 years old, and he's ready to go, right? Even reading that, you're never too old for God to use you to deliver on a promise. If he's going to have a promise, he's going to use you. So buckle up, be ready. And so Joshua 1:1 says this, now it came to about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all his people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the sons of Israel. And so I'm going to read the next portion of the crossing. Joshua 3:14 says, when the people set out from their tent to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest. Okay, so this is the crossing. Jordan is what separates them from being on one side of the river into the God's promised land. And so 500 years of planning, and God picks the time when the river is raging and overflowing. Moving up here, we've had a few rain things, and we've had school canceled off of storms because why? The flash floods, it's the rivers and everything around here. It's uncontrollable, right? It's dangerous. That's why we want to make sure we're staying safe and those things. And so, but 500 years, and that is the first task that Joshua has to tell 2.5 million people. Hey, you guys see that river right there? It's overwhelming and raging. We're going to cross it tomorrow. I think that's why, probably one of the reasons Moses had to go. Because they're like, where's Moses? Who's this? Joshua? No, where's Moses? We ain't doing this, right? And so, but there's moments here. So Israel already witnessed a water miracle, right? Years ago in the Red Sea. For me, I don't know. I watched the Prince of Egypt, the water walls and the little whale that swims across. And it's awesome, you know. that's how I remember when I think of that miracle that God did. So they've seen this already. Water is something they've experienced. They've seen that. They're like, okay, I guess God's just going to split the river. Bam, and we'll do it again. And we'll get to what's next. But just for a second, maybe you're in a season of life, and maybe it's this river that seems out of control and raging and overwhelming, and we have no idea how we're going to get through this. You might be on the brink of a miracle in your life. Jesus is probably already in the works to break through, because this is what's going to happen next. In verse 14, it says, so when the people set out their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, And so the Ark of the Covenant went first to the river, right? The Ark of the Covenant was a sign of God's promises. It was made out of wood, and it was covered in gold. And this is symbolic. This is a symbol of Jesus, right? That Jesus is thousands of years later, right? But even in this story, it's a symbol of Jesus. Wood represents humanity. God represents his divinity. And the Ark of the Covenant goes first to symbolically show us that Jesus goes before us. When we're going through a season, we're going through something that seems impossible to cross, that Jesus is already ahead of us, that he's right in front of us. And so when those who carried the ark came into the Jordan and the feet of the priests carrying the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, right? Also, what a day to be a priest. You're in charge of carrying that ark, like, hey, you guys are going first into this river, right? It's like, well, I'm just here to read the Torah and the squirrels and, you know, make sure everyone's organized for service. You want me? I have to go in first? I think it's interesting. It says they dip their feet in. I don't know if you've ever been to a pool. What do you go do? You go, before you just dive in, right? The kids do. But for us, right, what is this feeling now? You know, it's like as soon as they got to the river, they dip their toe into the water. It says the water which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap, a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zethera. And moving down, and it was completely cut off, and the people crossed opposite Jericho. So two things from these things. The town where the water stood up was named what? Adam. And at this time, Moses just gave them the written accounts from Genesis to Deuteronomy, the Torah. So the you know, creation, Noah, Abraham, they passed those things down verbally, but for the first time, they actually have a written account of these things. So everyone knows who Adam is, right? Adam's the one that got us in this mess, right? The first sin and the fall and everything that surrounds that. So there's no accident that the water was cut off at Adam. It's no accident that, the town was named Adam, where that raging, that river that is going to wipe us away was cut off where it all began. That's symbolic of who Jesus is, right? And so we got to realize that Jesus, when he gets involved in our lives, he cuts it off. Where sin began, he stops it right then and there. And the beautiful thing here, when he cuts it off, Adam was about 20 miles away from where they crossed. So as those priests are carrying the ark into this raging river, and it stops and all that, the timing of that miracle, as they were walking to the river, the miracle already happened. And they were just being faithful to continue to walk. By the time they got to the edge, gone. Dry land. There's moments in our lives where it seems so overwhelming. Can I tell you that the miracle is already begun? And all we have to do is continue to walk and continue to trust. And gosh, it feels so overwhelming and scary and frustrating. But if we just let Jesus go before us, he cuts it off. What's made to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy your life has no victory. That was very fitting. Me and Jared didn't even talk, but it's amazing that we're talking about Jesus, God, Jesus being our champion. It's because he is our champion in every situation. When we allow Jesus to come in, he is that champion. He is that redeemer. He is that restorer. I'm going to close with this, with the Jordan River. So the Jordan River, it divided, right? On one side of this river is this wayward life, this wandering, this sin and mistake after mistake, this hopelessness and not knowing what's going to happen and just kind of going through the motions, being overwhelmed, being exhausted, anxiety. And then on the other side of the river is this freedom, this life. And what happens here is when we let Jesus come in and we trust him, we come into this new life that we don't understand. We have this peace that truly goes through all understanding. That when something comes our way, when a river, the next situation of life, you say, you know what? Jesus goes before me. It's already happening. I don't know how Jesus is going to do it, but all I know is he's in front of me and the miracle is already in the works. And all I have to do is take a step forward. All I have to do is trust in him. God, 500 years, I thought about it in the first service, but it's a generational thing. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, generation after generation. Even in this room, we represent different generations. I think about my dad and his generation. His family was divorced. They were alcoholics. They were drug addicts. And there was no hope for him. But when he gave his life to Jesus, it got cut off. And now, like, not addicted to drugs, not an alcoholic, was married 49 years, has 4 boys that love their wives and are doing good. All because when you allow Jesus in, he doesn't just cut it off for you, but generation after generation, his promises will be true and his promises will be faithful. And so this morning, I just want to give us opportunity for that. I don't know what your river in your life right now represents. It could be financially, it could be in your heart, it could be sin, it could be just fighting anxiety, whatever that is this morning. It wouldn't be right not to give you an opportunity to let Jesus go before you. And all we have to do is trust. So if you wouldn't mind, just maybe just close your eyes just to help you focus. But I just want to give us the opportunity just to respond. Maybe you're here in this room today and you would say, you know what, Ray, I am going through something right now. I'm going through a season. And man, I just need Jesus. I just need Jesus in my life. Would you just represent, maybe just put your hand up just so I can pray for us. And I just would love to pray for you this morning. For whatever season, whatever it is, that we're just gonna ask Jesus to come in and be that champion and be that support. And maybe after service, we'll leave this time at the end if you wanna come up, if you wanna pray, if you want prayer, we'll have Pastor Stan and some of our deacons up here. If you just need to talk, if you want to accept Jesus into your heart, I would love to give you that opportunity. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are, that you're willing to cut it off if we simply just give it to you, if we just trust you. Lord, you know what is represented in this room, the pain, the hurt, the overwhelming rivers of our lives, but God, you will cut it off in an instant. And all we have to do is put our faith and put our trust in you, because you already have gone before us. But we thank you and we love you. And everybody said,